Welcome to the Bibling and Babbling podcast. My name is Luke Simmons, and I'm joined by Connor Hyde. Today's episode, we are going to be talking about summer camp ministry, or just camp ministry in general. And we have a very special guest. Did an interview with him last week, so that'll come later in the podcast. But first things first, Connor, how are you doing, man?
I am doing great. Coming off of what has been a little bit more like relaxing of a week, I guess. It's been like a few weekends of traveling, and I've been in Abbotsford twice, I guess, this month. And it kind of got to the point today where my maps were suggesting that I drive to the McDonald's in Merritt this morning because that's been my Friday rhythm these last 2 weeks. And so Apple thinks that they know me well enough to suggest that I head back out there today, but it was like, nope, I'm not going there. But I am going back there next weekend, so I'm sure it'll continue to think that it's got me figured out. But that kind of made me chuckle this morning when I realized it's like, oh, I don't have to drive to the coast. We're good.
Soon your algorithm's going to be showing you like rentals in
Oh,
Abbotsford.
100%. It's like, why don't you just move here? You spend enough time here. But no, it's been fun, like conferences and stuff that I've gotten to be a part of. And our Miller worship teams are traveling here this next stretch. And so, yeah, it's just been a lot of good time on the road. But this week has been a little bit of a break and all of that. And this weekend's off for me and stuff. And so, kind of nice that way.
Rest and recharge a little bit.
Totally. It's so good. And just to be back around on campus as well lets me kind of connect with the students in a different way and everything too. So that's been nice. How have you been?
Good. Yeah, it's been we've had our fall spring and then second winter.
Yeah.
I feel like has arrived the last couple days where it rained all day yesterday by the lake, but it was snow everywhere else.
Yeah.
Snowed overnight and it was cold. So I mean working outside, it's like you just kind of bundle up and you're good to go. But
Until like noon today, and then it got so warm.
and then it was like I couldn't take the layers off fast enough.
Like today, I both woke up to snow and went to the co-op for ice cream, like the gas station for ice cream, because it was like so sunny and so warm outside in the afternoon. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah, springtime's really a wild time around here. But I love it. When that sunshine starts to come out again, it's just rejuvenating,
Oh, yeah.
getting the vitamin D back in the system. And so yeah, I'm pretty good doing little projects around the house, getting the yard kind of cleaned up and stuff has been fun.
Do you guys have big plans for the yard this summer? I feel like you're always kind of thinking of the next step for it.
I am. I'm dreaming. Like I dreamed about this podcast. My dreams always don't always come to fruition. So I have different dreams for it, but we'll see how busy I am with summer deployments for firefighting and stuff like that. So yeah.
What would be like the next thing you'd want to take on with your yard?
Probably a new woodshed. Our
Nice.
woodshed's pretty decrepit and sad. And raccoons live in it. So that would probably be the next thing.
You're gonna evict your neighbors.
Probably not. Oh, the raccoons you mean? Oh, okay. Okay.
The
Sorry. That took me a second. Yeah, that would be ideal.
Nice.
That would be ideal.
Get him out of there.
But yeah, life is good. And we get to look forward to, not that Connor and I will be there, but we get to look forward to the upcoming camp season for our camp that we're closest to, and Connor technically kind of works there, but not,
Yeah.
and I'm there often. Sunnybury Bible Camp. They'll be getting ready to start doing school groups again in a couple months here, May, which really isn't that far away.
No, it's really not at all.
So yeah, we were just going to talk today about summer camp and our experience with it, the importance of it, why we love it so much, and why we think it's such an amazing thing to do as someone that's worked at camp, to do as a kid that's gone to camp. and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So Connor, I guess, yeah, what's been your experience with camp, your time at maybe different camps and things like that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I feel like camp is one of those things, like if you're growing up in the church, that's often is talked about. Like every church kind of seems to have a camp, or like every denomination at least has like a camp that they affiliate with. And so our church was no different. Growing up in Strathmore, we had Southern Alberta Bible Camp that was really close by, and lots of, I don't know if I guess we weren't directly like affiliated with them, but that was kind of the camp that lots of kids from our church went to. That's like the camp where a lot of the young adults from our church served and everything as well. And so that was the one that, once we were living in Strathmore, that was the one that everybody talked about, and the one that I went to for a number of summers. I don't know exactly how many, probably like 3 or 4 summers as a kid, but camp was always like just a sweet way. You had your group of friends, you signed up for the same week of camp, you signed up to be in each other's cabin because that was just the best thing. And then you would try and like line up all of your skill blocks with each other once you got there. And so at SABC, Southern Alberta Bible Camp, you'd always like sign up for your skill blocks once you got to camp, and then you kind of like build your
Cool.
schedule that way. And so you kind of get there and you'd be working at it with your friends to just like get in the blocks you wanted to. So that's like all the classics, right? Like archery and canoeing. We would do like pelletry, like have like pellet guns and stuff that you
Yeah.
do. There's like, I don't know, there's crafts, there's like windsurfing was one I remember doing as a kid. So
That's a
just,
cool skill block.
yeah, that was a sweet one. Yeah, I feel like that camp was good at like finding different things, or like things that were really current. So like rip sticking was like a, it came to be like a huge thing, and I don't know, like 2008
Yeah.
maybe. And I remember that they were right gung ho. They offered a rip sticking like activity skill walk and stuff. And so yeah, all those
Kick flip
fun
on the rip
random
stick.
things. Oh, you know it. I like found my old rip stick. My dad was like cleaning out the garage in our family home and stuff, and yeah, he like set it aside so I could bring it back here, and I could still move on that thing.
You have
Hard to
it?
stop on that thing. No, I passed it on to some of the kids at the school because I
Oh,
was
that's
like,
right.
oh, you guys will get way more use out of this than I will.
Dude, you could have just rip stick to work.
Would have absolutely flown off
Be so
the
funny. Just like people driving by on their way to work, seeing this dude just rip sticking down the road.
Well, and
Awesome.
rip sticking looks ridiculous too,
Oh,
because
yeah.
it's like all like hip movement, and so you're just wiggling your hips to go as fast as you can.
I
So
hope everyone listening to this knows what a ripstick is.
yeah, look it up.
If
Just
you don't,
look it
it's
up.
like this two-wheeled skateboard that, like Connor said, you have to wiggle a lot
Yeah, you
to
just have
get
to basically
the
like
momentum.
you wiggle your hips to, yeah, to build up momentum, to build up speed, and then you just ride that wave. That's all there is to it.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so that was my time with camp, and yeah, that was my experience, I guess, as a camper anyways, just a few years there. And then later on in life, I decided like I wanted to experience working at camp a little bit. And so I spent some partial summers where I would just either join like the rec staff, so like helping plan games and events, or I lifeguarded for a couple summers at SABC as well, where I just come in kind of for 2 weeks. Usually I take like holiday time as I was just working like summer jobs and stuff. Take 2 weeks of holidays, go spend it at camp, sort of,
You
you
had
know.
2 weeks of holidays for a summer job?
Well, it depends on the job,
Okay,
but
I was like,
yeah.
wow, that's a pretty lax summer job.
Usually depended on the employer, and I usually had pretty decent employers,
Yeah.
so they'd be all right with me taking off to camp. So yeah, that was my time there, and then I'd never heard of Sunnybrae Bible Camp, and never really knew anything about it until I came and joined like Miller, and came here as a student. And Kyle Redeman, who is our guest that you'll get to hear from later, He is a master at spending his school year kind of watching and recruiting the people that he wants to come out to camp for the summer. So I somehow made it onto his watch list partway through my Miller year. And then he's pretty famous for being known as the guy who will pull you into his office for a camp conversation at some point as a student. And so basically, like Christmas time of 2020, he brought me into his office, and he's just like, "Hey, like you should think about camp in the summer." And like pretty quick, honestly, I was like, "Yeah, you know what? I'm sold. Like I would love to do that." I had never worked a full summer at camp, so I'd never seen like all of the rhythms, and I had never seen how Sunny Bray ran, but it just sounded like a sweet opportunity. I was going to school with so many people who had worked for Sunny Bray, Luke included, and with so many people who were planning to be there in the summer. And so that's really the cool thing about the Miller Sunny Bray partnership, is that a lot of the students end up being camp staff, and then a lot of the camp staff end up funneling in as students. And so there's a really cool partnership, a really cool like give and take that kind of happens with that ministry. And so yeah, that's how I ended up at Sunny Bray, and I served for 3 summers there, and just had an amazing time each summer, getting to see the work that the Lord was doing through Campman, which we'll talk about later here too. But why don't you tell us about your camp history and how that all came to be for you?
I love hearing you talk about like how Kyle convinced you, because I'm just like, Connor loves the party.
Oh yeah.
And he knew that camp was gonna be a party, and it was pretty easy to sell him on it.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. It
But
did.
he also loves ministry and serving Jesus.
Which often is a party.
Yeah.
It is such a good time.
It's true.
But yeah, it did not take Kyle much to kind of know which bu buttons to push to convince me to be out there. So
So my camp history, I really haven't been a camper very much at camps. I was when I lived in New Brunswick for a time growing up, I went to a camp called Camp Brookwood. It is an Anglican summer camp, and it was awesome. Super small, like two guys' cabins and three girls' cabins, in the middle of nowhere, New Brunswick. Black flies and mosquitoes, like you wouldn't believe, like just terrible. I don't really remember what the skill blocks were, I'm not gonna lie, but it was fun. It was small, like the leaders were, so caring, which like I feel like as a kid, like sometimes it like shocks you, I feel like, when it's like, oh, this like older person is like choosing to be here and like actually cares about me and sees me. So I think that was pretty cool as like a 7-year-old being like, whoa, this is wild. But then other than that, like I don't really have any camper experiences other than like some May camps at Sunny Bray in high school and stuff. But once I started kind of going to youth group and stuff at Shoesop Community Church, then they were talking about the junior staff program at Sunny Bray, which is called Salting. And so that sounded pretty interesting, pretty cool. So I decided to do that for a couple summers. The first summer, and actually I was only gonna go for like 2 weeks, and then I ended up being there for 7 weeks because it was just like, I'm not doing anything else this summer, I might as well just go back to camp. And so that was really awesome. Fun to get to do like work teams, and it really is like a party, even though you're like cleaning toilets and doing dishes and all this kind of stuff. It is just so much fun, all the rhythms of it, and getting to hang out with the kids and friends and things like that. So I did that for 2 summers, and then after I graduated, started as a staff, as a cabin leader, which was super fun. And then COVID, you know, that we didn't have it then, but it was never really like, it was like, that's what you do in the summer, you work at camp. So I didn't go for COVID summer, but then after that, 2021, I guess, summer, was there with Connor. Just, yeah, Sunnybrae really is like it. I mean, I'm sure other camps are like this, I have no doubt, but it does just draw you in so much, and it's like you just want to be there. It's so much fun hanging out with these kids, like seeing kids just get pumped about skill blocks, get pumped about Jesus. It's a pretty unique place, I feel like, for that.
Totally.
And yeah, like getting to lead cabins, as exhausting and like just helpless you can feel at the end of a week, or like in the middle of a week even. It's like so rewarding when kids are like this Jesus guy sounds pretty cool. Like, I wanna follow him. And getting to see kids that come from non-believing homes and things like that, make that commitment or start in that direction is really cool. And then my last summer, I got to lead the junior staff, the Salts, and that was really sweet. Just seeing these teenagers that, like I did, just give up their entire summer to come serve at camp,
Yeah.
where they're actually paying to be there. They don't get paid. It's completely like volunteer. So yeah, that was probably my favorite summer, that last summer, where it's just like you're walking with these teenagers through life, helping them with jobs, teaching some of them how to clean a toilet because they've never cleaned one before, or do dishes because they've never done dishes before, or things like that, or just pull weeds for 2 hours, and get to hang out with them and just see the way that God's created them and gifted them. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's really the like jumping off of the deep end in that sense, like as you kind of talk about that, like, hey, you've never cleaned a toilet before, and now we need you to go clean 10. And it's like, hey, you've never washed a dish before, and now we need you to scrub 200 plates. Like, it's kind of funny in that sense. It's
That have
like,
all been touched by kids.
oh
Like, it's
my,
not like, a civil bathroom or civil dishes. It's
no,
like they are a mess.
just. Yeah, training in hyper speed, really. It's like, that's cool. Yeah, I was just thinking that as you were talking, that it's like, man, like we've worked in the same camp, like, and have had 3 years that we both served there together. But it's like really different perspectives even in that, because even as you're talking about cabin leading, like that's one thing as far as camp ministry goes that I've always just like reflected on, is the fact that like I've actually never cabin led. And so like I've always seen it, I've always like observed like the physical and mental toll that it takes to be a cabin leader. And kind of what I've always said, is like I really see cabin leaders as like kind of being on the front lines of camp ministry. And so just cool that it's like you've had that experience, because that's one thing that I never dabbled in. Like from my first year, I was right into the program team and stuff, and just stuck in that role, which I loved that role. And like that brought so,
Just stuck in that role, he
yeah,
says.
not just, no, I don't mean that
He loved it.
as
He
like,
was not stuck.
no, I don't mean it in that way, but it's like I stayed in that role. I remained, and it was because I loved it that I stayed in that role. But yeah, I don't know. I've never got that cabin leader perspective necessarily, but could always understand like how important that role was and how sweet that must be, just to get to be having like so many of those conversations with kids, because I still got like glimpses of them, you know, and you'd still hang out. Well, usually program staff kind of hangs out with the kids who are really causing trouble, and the ones who won't go to sleep at night, or yeah, the ones who, yeah, whatever, just need some extra attention. So I got glimpses of it there. But yeah, cool that you could just be that person, because I remember my cabin leaders, not necessarily by name, but like just can remember like thinking that they were just so cool, right? And just being like, oh man, like those guys like are awesome. Like they run the fastest in the game, and they're the strongest as they're like battling the other cabin leaders, and like they're the most fun, and they have the coolest ideas, and just like all of these things. And so the cabin leader life is a pretty unique one, as far as just getting to have like these like strangers essentially that you're just suddenly in care of, and like kids nonetheless, and just leading them through the week of camp that's kind of being run is a pretty cool thing. So
It is kind of like, I mean, neither of us are parents, so we can't understand that perspective of it. But when it's like these parents are just dropping off their as young as eight, their 8-year-olds to, I mean, teenagers, it's like, yep, take my kid for a week. We'll see you at the end of the week.
totally.
Like, obviously, like, they trust the camp, and the camp is a trustworthy, camps are trustworthy places to send
Yes, there's
kids.
supervisors all across
It's they're safe
the
places, but at the same time, it's like, man, it is like, hey, all of a sudden it's me and one guy are in charge of, one other guy are
Totally.
in charge of these 10 kids. But it's cool in like the moments where you'll just be sitting with a kid and they're distracted, or you think they're distracted, you're sitting in chapel, they're playing with something, but then they just ask like the most profound questions, where it's like, why was Jesus, like, why did he have to come to earth? Or like, I've had questions like that, and it's just like, you're thinking about this stuff, like,
Totally.
it's so cool, and it's refreshing when it's stuff that maybe you haven't pondered before or pondered in a while.
Or even just have had to like put into terms that it's like, okay, like these kids can grasp this idea. And it's like, okay, I have to like, you're talking about this to someone who's hearing it for the first time. And so it's just like, oh, like how to even put that in like language that makes sense and is understandable to like an 8-year-old is just like a whole new task, like, which is so fun.
Yeah, kids are, they're simple in a lot of ways, but they also have so much depth in a lot of other ways where they probably don't remember a lot of those conversations. But at the same time, it's like those conversations just kind of sink in and stay there.
Yeah, and they can understand big ideas as well, right? And yeah, I feel like it is so cool when a kid just does have one of those big questions that it's just like, oh, this isn't beyond their comprehension, because it's like ultimately the Lord working, to communicate truth to them and stuff, but
It also just makes me think about like how God is like, have a childlike faith.
yeah.
And it's when you get to see a kid believe that something can happen just so passionately, even if it's like something that's never going to happen or is totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
But they aren't afraid to believe in something. And that is like really cool. Especially, I feel like nowadays there is so much skepticism in our world
Yeah.
where it's like, I sometimes don't know what to believe, like in terms of the media that's out there and, you know, all the
News
political
outlet
stuff and
scene, yeah,
different things
totally.
like that, where it's like, you're all telling me things about this topic and they're all different.
Yeah.
But kids just have that ability to just trust. And that's how we're supposed to look at our Heavenly Father and just
Have a childlike faith.
openly trust Him.
Yeah. I was thinking about it as you're saying, like, how crazy it is, like, parents are, kind of trusting their kids to, yeah, like these cabin leaders and stuff like that. But we were kind of just talking before this as well, like how wild it is to, like, how willing parents are to, like, drop their kids off at even just like a Bible camp in general, and how, like, how neat it is that, often like unbelieving parents, like, kind of sending their unbelieving children to this place where it's like, oh, they're actually going to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus. But how sweet it is that, just for camp to be like that kind of neutral ground that parents are like, oh yeah, like I'll, there's some maybe like level of trust because it's like, oh, these people have good morals, or like there's good beliefs here, or like they talk about love. And so I want my kid to know about like love and, treating your friends nicely and things like that.
Yeah, help them
And
become a better person.
yeah, sort of deal, right? And kind of how that like fuels maybe the willingness to let them be at a Bible camp, and then how that ultimately gets to then be a way for them to kind of hear the gospel. And I think it's so cool in that as well, that it's just like, like the Lord using camp ministry for families to ultimately get to hear the gospel. And yeah, just how camp can be that space.
Yeah, it is like as it, when you're a cabin leader, you're like greeting all the kids as they come, and you have like sheets taught telling you kind of like the kids that they are, like even the church that they go to, or
Right.
you get kind of hints at some of their home life stuff. So you kind of know when kids aren't going to be, in any kind of church context, like if they haven't been at all. And it's crazy to see like these parents come and like you see some of them are like don't listen to any of like the chapels, or like, oh, like can he not go to any of the chapels and things like that. But they still want to send them to Bible camp, even though they know that we're going to be talking about this stuff,
Totally.
and they do come to chapel and that kind of thing. But yeah, just the impact too, when it's like this unbelieving kid accepts Jesus and then goes home, and in some cases their parents become believers as a result. I know that's Kyle's experience, which he'll talk about more when we go to that. But yeah, it's pretty amazing that transformation when it's like a God uses a kid to convert the family and yeah, help the parents see the importance of Jesus.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's in like every little piece of camp, right? Like it's in like obviously the chapel times and the speakers who are actually like preparing to teach on the word of God. It's in the cabin time with cabin leaders as they're, you're meeting for those discussion questions. It's in the skill blocks as kids are memorizing verses. It's in worship times as, song lyrics like that are talking about Jesus and the truth of God's word. Like those lyrics are just sticking with these kids, and it's just really cool to see all of these like different pieces that it's like, oh yeah, like these are the ways that we're trying to teach truth to these kids. And it's kind of in every little piece of camp, and so many of those things end up being the things that stick, the questions that are talked about, the songs that are sung, the verses that are memorized. And so it's just all these like little like nuggets that are just like the kids get to take back with them. It is special.
What else you got on that list there? I forget everything we talked about beforehand.
That's all right. Yeah, I mean, like I think the cool thing to think about too, and this is like something I've seen Sunny Braid do really well. And I think this kind of model exists in a lot of camps, but it's maybe like I've been around Sunny Braid like the longest, like out of all the other camp things that I've seen. And so I've maybe gotten to see the trajectory that like Sunny Braid kind of utilizes to grow up its campers, really. And like we're talking about campers, but you talk about the SALT program as well. And so that like leadership training that kind of happens to bring these leaders then to come back as like full-time staff for the summer. And really just see also how like these teens, these staff members kind of grow up and then end up just serving well in their local churches too. And that's one thing I think I have to give like Sunny Ray so much prop for, is like just how invested they are in serving and like equipping the local church. There are camps, that are more standalone, more self-sufficient, and kind of the whole drive is just to get kids to camp to learn about Jesus, to kind of grow and continue to see the camp like thrive, which is fine and all and well and stuff. But Sunny Bray, it's like you just see their heart for kids to come hear the gospel, love camp, but ultimately like be connected into the local church. And I think that's evident just through like their trajectory, the path that they kind of have for campers, and evident in just like the staff that have come out of it and stuff too. And so, yeah, I don't know if you have thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's like doing junior youth and getting to hang out with some of the kids that like I've had as campers is like really cool. It's like sweet. They're especially ones where it's like I know that they weren't going to church before.
Yeah.
In those kind of conversations, and now they're coming to youth group. They might not come Sunday mornings, but they are there on that Thursday night, hanging out with us, learning about Jesus. So that kind of thing is really cool. Even for myself, where I started working at camp and I didn't necessarily like believe. I believed in God, but I don't think I was a believer, that kind of thing, or however that works. So we can talk about that another episode. But being able to grow in my love for Jesus at the camp and through the work of the camp, and now my love for the church has grown so much, and now I'm able to serve my church better because I learned how to through the camp.
Right.
And that kind of thing. And, you know, a lot of my best buddies that I went through like the SALT program and worked at camp with are now youth pastors or becoming youth pastors or working in different ministries like that, where it's like really cool to see, yeah, how effective the Lord has allowed these ministries to be and enabled them to, yeah, just set up people to serve him well,
yeah,
in the different ministry contexts.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And it is cool, Sunny Bray's, the way they do it, because they were created by the church for the church. So it's owned by, there's 17 churches that have ownership over the camp. So it's not its own thing. Like, yeah. It has a governing board and things like that that direct it. It has a director, but he
kind of
answers under to the churches, yeah, in that kind of a sense. So, and it makes it a great resource for the churches that can come out and have their weekend retreats or different things like that. Totally. Utilize this space to connect better as a church and things like that. So
yeah
it's a unique, it's a unique way of enabling the church to connect and build up its members.
You even just think back to the, you know, the toilet cleaning and the plate scrubbing and all these jobs that it's like, oh my, like, why on earth would you not just want to do them but actually like pay to do them? But even in that, it's kind of this training trajectory where it's like, oh man, if you like find joy in that and like realize just the value that's in those roles, like, and can kind of learn that, you know, when you're 16 years old, it's like how cool is it and how equipping is that going to be for you to take into the future when it's like, yeah, like even to serve your church, like there's going to be jobs sometimes that it's just like, oh man, like I don't want to get up early to go, you know, run sound for a worship practice or like help out with parking for an event or like all these things that it's like, oh yeah, maybe the task itself seems like something you wouldn't be excited for, but you've gotten to experience the joy that it is to like serve others and see ministry happen and see others cared for through ministry. And yeah, camp is just such a sweet way that happens practically, and that it just trains you up for all that's to come, you know, as we become adults and spend more times maybe in our churches than we do in camps. And, you know, churches obviously going on year round, whereas camp ministry is happening for kind of 2 months in the summer and, you know, some extra time in the spring if that's going on. But yeah, just amazing to see like young adults just be brought up in that servanthood mentality. And, you know, Christ calls us to be servants and to lay our lives down for the gospel. And you kind of just get to experience that in some cool practical ways when you're dead tired after a summer, but also just like so filled with joy by what the Lord has done.
Yeah, it's we love camp, in case you guys couldn't tell. I think at this point we're going to send it over to our interview with Kyle. So please enjoy that. We are super thankful for Kyle's time, getting to kind of talk to him about his journey in camp and why he loves it so much. So we'll send you guys over to that. We are pleased to be joined by a good friend, a mentor of mine and Connor's, Kyle Redeman. Kyle, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining me in my office today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Thanks for setting some time aside in your work schedule to meet with us and talk about camp ministry and how much it's meant to you and all the things that you're excited, that gets you excited about camp ministry.
No, I'm looking forward to it. One thing I love to talk about is camp ministry. So I know it well. I've been a part of it for a long time, and it's fun talking about it with you guys as well.
I feel like we've spent a lot of time in these chairs discussing not just camp ministry, also just like pouring our lives out to Kyle in this room, but even just, yeah, I can see on the board or on the wall, your whiteboard that's just kind of summarizing all of the summer staff positions coming up this summer. And it's like, man, it's crazy just thinking of all the years of ministry that you've done, that we've gotten to be a part of, and now to kind of pick your brain on some of it.
Yeah, so many different names on this board I've seen over the years, the ones that I've stuck and worked alongside, and the ones that haven't, but have gone to great things as well. So it's just a unique spot to see young adults just desire to do ministry and seek their giftings in that sense. So.
For those of you, to add a little context, Kyle has a whiteboard in his office with all of his different roles that he seeks to fill for all the volunteer positions throughout the summer. And he just slowly will write people's names and add check marks as they're confirmed or question marks to get people thinking. The students here at Miller College can see right in at this board. So they look at it and it's like, why is my name on this? Kyle, what are you doing? And he's like, well, let me tell you, I want you to come work at camp this summer. So I guess, Kyle, if you want to give like a summary of what your job is and how long you've been doing this job and the other things you've done around the camp over your time here.
Okay. Yeah, I've been in this role for 14 years now as the program director of Sunnybrae Bible Camp. And also the assistant director. And sometimes it's kind of fun to use those two titles, but more often than not, I would use the program director title for the things that I do. And that would include lots of different things, but often does look different than other camps too. So my role here doesn't necessarily emulate exactly what a program director would do. So I do see it as a bit of a hybrid that way. But I've been program director here for a while. Before then, seasonally, I worked as the skills coordinator at the camp, which is fun, just working on skills. And prior to that, seasonally, when I was here, I worked as the head cabin leader and program assistant and cabin leader and salt and all those wonderful things. So yeah, I've had my fair share of my life being in and around Sunnybrae Bible Camp.
So
that is sweet. What was it that kind of got you down the direction of Sunnybrae? Like, why Sunnybrae? Maybe like, why camp ministry in general? Like,
yeah, I committed my life to Christ here. That was a big piece. I was 12 years old. I was in the amphitheater. If you've ever been to Sunnybrae before, there's a bunch of used to be green benches, now they're brown, an outside sort of chapel space, and a speaker just really resonated with my heart at the time, through the Holy Spirit, of course. And that sort of settled on this path of I wanted to contribute back And I just loved Sunnybury. There's something
Mm.
about it, this, dare I say, magical experience where your giftings and your community really all come together, and you're able just to work with young people and have a lot of fun doing it. So I remember this point in my life where I'm like, that's the my dream job is to work at Sunnybury. I had no other plans, and that was what I want to do the rest of my life, was to work at Sunnybury Bible Camp, and I'm on a pretty good trajectory with it right now.
Oh man, that's so sweet.
That is sweet. So how long in total from when you started as a camper to now? That's like
Yeah.
20 years.
Yeah, my first summer was 2002. So I would have
Whoa.
been 15, turning 16 maybe. And now I'm 38 and the year is 2025. So I've been here for approximately like 23 years, but in and out as well on the way. I've worked at another camp one summer and I worked at another log home building place one summer. But those are my only 2 summers away from Sunnybury.
Wild.
That's cool. I like the piece that you said where there is like something kind of like almost magical feeling about Sunnybury that just like draws people in. They never want to leave. You see a lot of like recurring faces or people that like to drop in and say hey, or even myself, I don't work here in an official capacity, but I love coming and hanging out
Yeah,
and
yeah.
volunteering and stuff like that. So
Hmm.
it is very true, and we see it in all those pieces. What would you say from when you started to maybe now, if it's changed at all, but what's the importance of camp ministry? Obviously, this is where you met Christ and have grown in your faith a lot along the way. But yeah, what is that, the importance of it and how it's maybe changed since you were a camper?
Yeah, I would say the importance of it is pretty well the same as it always has been. I think it's such a unique spot in this world, to be honest with you. The ministry of camp, and you know, it's not that we shy away from the Bible here. It's in our name, Sunnybury Bible Camp. Yet parents send their children to this camp from unbelieving homes, and sort of the rest is history. They hear the gospel a couple times a day, and they discuss it, and they live and alongside cabin leaders who love the Lord, and all those things are quite amazing. That was really my story as well, where my mom came to know about Jesus because I'd gone to camp and continued on in the church back home. So the importance, I think, is hasn't changed very much. If anything, as a parent now, I see that, you know, in my children and their friends, their non-believing friends, is that there's something about Bible camp or the place of ministry that's safe and caring and really does care for their children when they come here. The changes I've seen, I don't know if camp is overall changed very much at all. There's still chapels and games and discussion and all of those things. I think culture has changed. And you know, you've seen some of those things over the years, and you know, some topics of identity or anxiety or whatever it may be. But the beauty of camp remaining the same along that way has been great, and that impact is still there. Parents still want to get their kids out of the house and send them to a place, maybe outdoors or away from screens or day-to-day life. A lot of families are busy. And so this provides opportunity for them to go and play and hang out and be a kid. So yeah, I'd say the importance is still there, but some things around our society has changed a little bit.
That's sweet.
That makes sense. I was thinking of how cool that is that, like you mentioned, your family and stuff, and the fact your oldest, is almost at that point that you were when you first came to camp.
Oof, yeah.
But he's
Chills.
he's
Yeah.
kind of gone to grow up in this world, in this environment, and I don't know, I feel like that's such a cool piece as well. Like, what's it like raising a family in like ministry, obviously, but like camp ministry where, it's so full on for a season and then there's time to maybe step back. But what are the joys and even maybe challenges of just being doing family life out here?
Yeah, I'd say the pros definitely outweigh the cons of it. That what a special place to raise your children. I think about this often of they have sort of those elements where you can play and be a kid year round. And at the influence of in our sort of context, college students, so Bible learning believers who are around here and learning and growing that love my children. And then the camp where sort of a new batch of Bible loving, God loving sort of staff come around and do the same. So it is cool. And they get to bring their friends into this. Summers can, I don't know if they're difficult or not. I do get the question of when are you going to be home, Dad, a bit more now. But at the same time, the aspect that I'm so close that they can just come alongside and participate and use their creative sort of ideas in those things too. It's just I don't think that there's any place better, not to be like that guy, but it's just incredible. Even last night, for example, I was teaching a camp leadership class last week, and I'm just sitting down at the table and I'm just talking about all the games that students had created, not using their names, of course, in these assignments. But and I just was like, "What do you think of this game, kids?" And they're like, "Oh, it sounds awesome. That'd be so fun to play." And they're giving me feedback and what they think of how they would play it and develop it. But some of those things where we can do things alongside each other is really cool.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
How many of your games that you've created do you have to give a lot of credit to your kids for in like the some of the thinking up of the how it would work?
Yeah, maybe not necessarily them being like, "Let can we try this?" I don't know if they've creatively sort of talk to me about that, but I would say I would use some ideas based on their the things that they enjoy. So it's fun to look through the lens of my children now and use that to build program or games for the kids their age that'll come to camp. So what do they like? What are they interested in? What gets them excited? What are their friends like? That's been a new area of creativity, which I really like.
Yeah, I guess you really can gauge so much off of like what they're gonna like, also just what they're gonna be able to do looking
Yeah.
at your own kids, right? And being able to set your things around like, okay, you've got the, ideal camper right in front of you
Yeah.
that you're trying to reach.
Oh, that
So.
lens has opened up even more too, because I've done this for a long time, but haven't had kids obviously that whole time. And watching my kids go to the canteen and buy $4 worth of candy in a day. And I'm like, they would never eat that much sugar
Totally.
in any day of their life. But now this is camp. That's good. Or even the amount of time they stay up at night. The camp stories of I stayed up till midnight. I'm like, these guys normally go to bed at 8:30. Like now they're up till midnight. They're gonna be a mess the next day. But it's summer, it's camp, and they're having a great time. So
Yeah, it gives you the
perspective is different now.
perspective. Oh, that's awesome.
That's funny.
I feel like you probably get asked this a lot, just being in the camping world, which is much broader than just Sunnybrae, but you've been in it a while. And like as you look towards like the trajectory maybe that camps are going in, the mission obviously staying the same, but what do you see as far as like how camp is going to change in the future? Maybe the trajectory of like even some of those cultural pieces and how they play in.
Yeah. It is hard to say. Like I think there are things that sort of caught us off guard even in the past that will you wouldn't quantify as affecting camp necessarily, right? Phone usage and all that stuff. When those phones came out, you're like, "Oh, this is great and what a handy tool." But you don't necessarily think about how that will function at camp and maybe the difficulties of it along the way. So it is hard to say of like how will camps change. I think camps could be at risk based on some cultural things that are within our communities, right? The gospel or prayer was taken out of schools at one point. What does that look like in the camp setting if all of a sudden society says, "No, this isn't a place we want to send our kids anymore because we don't believe those same things"? It could be a risk that could be posed. But there's some things that people got really nervous of with that technology boom before, but now we're looking at AI and those things. But most of the time, using that AI technology in the camping world has been sort of a nice feature to build schedules or to riddles or games or whatever to help in those scenarios. Graphics, there's been a lot of like nice pieces with that along the way. So I don't know how it changes, how it gets shaped. Each person sort of brings something different, and society will bring something different at any given time. And I think camps adapted really well over the years.
That's cool.
AI, the new member of the program team. Right?
When it doesn't mess up your schedule. Oh, No, that's sweet. What would you say, like, I mean, for us, it's easy to kind of picture all the things. Oh, Connor's got to step out. Thanks, Connor.
See ya.
What are some of the things that are like some of your brainchilds that you've brought that just get you super excited, whether it was, you know, 10 years ago you brought it in and it's still here? What are some of those things, features of the camp that really pump you up and you love?
Yeah, I think when I look back in hindsight of like, it's hard to really quantify like what you have done or what's right. shaped culture or been affected, but it's been really fun to watch like my style of leadership and how people have responded to it, because sometimes you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
So you see this amount of staff that's come through and, you know, they've enjoyed their time and succeeded in ministry in the next stages, or love the church, or you know, love their time that they spend at Sunnybrook. That's always something that encourages me a lot. In terms of like items or pieces, there's little things we've added to the toolbox, which has been really cool to watch and be used. And now I'm seeing a lot of other youth groups want to add those same tools to their toolbox.
Mm.
It could be boxes that are taped or
right.
Little things. Our most effective things have been laser tagged to watch that go out and be developed. It's been really cool. We're seeing like our big trampoline thing, big yellow, be used really well. And that stuff's fun. Like we were a part of something, right? We helped build on these things and made it happen. I get really excited about some opportunities in the future with program. That's just fun. A lot of those things, you know, as we think about these tube slides or this bird's nest that we want to build with the netting and the trees. And it's fun to be creative, think of it through the lens of my kids and how they would find it fun or effective, and then see it play out in the summers with the campers that do come then and the staff that uses it too. But overall, I would say it was the growth of our staff and the development there and just seeing staff and where they're at, like you guys, and just being so encouraged by that. And God's used that to shape them. So.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. Well, that's kind of all the questions we have for you. Is there anything else that you want to talk about Sunnybrae specifically or camp in general? We've covered a lot of things in a short amount of time, but.
Yeah, nothing too crazy. What was your favorite memory at camp, Luke?
My favorite summer was getting to be the junior staff coordinator, which we call SALTS here at Sunnybrae. Of the roles that I've done, being a SALT, being a cabin leader, and getting to do that was definitely the most fun, where it's you're interacting with these teens that are maybe a little more receptive in some ways than the kids are in diving a little bit deeper into the gospel truths and things like that. So that was such a joy. And I wish I could have done more of that. I decided to get married, so I guess it's on me, but I also would take that back.
Yes.
But there are so many wonderful memories, you know, just getting to hang out with like 10 rambunctious kids in a cabin for a week and just kind of the different pieces that kids will bring from their lives and their different contexts is pretty cool. Hard sometimes to kind of see where kids come from, but then getting to feel so like privileged to have the opportunity to share the gospel with them and know that the context that they come from, like, yes, they have to go back, but they might be going back with the gospel truth in their heart and mind. So stuff like that's pretty exciting and getting to see lives transformed and getting to have such a fun place to do it is pretty sweet.
And you and Connor are both good examples of like camp is one ministry that's great and I love it, of course. And there's so many great ministries out there, but you guys are examples of like not only has that ministry built into you as you've built into it, but to see your love and heart grow to serve in various other ministries as well as that same ministry, no matter what it is, whether it's missions or church or camp, for people to sort of have that same mindset of, hey, I want to contribute, whether it's through prayer or finances or time, to help build into those places and help them to continue to grow and succeed. It's been very cool.
Yeah, and I love, like, I know part of, I mean, the main thing that Sunny Bray desires to do is to build back into the local church. That's kind of your guys's purpose and why I think it was created in the first place, is to raise up young people to be able to pour back into the church. And I think, I mean, for myself, it's done that effectively, where this is the place that I fell in love with the church and wanted to go be involved in my local church and stuff like that. So it is pretty, it's pretty special.
That's a win.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle, thank you so much for your time. This is a
Thank you
lot
for
of
having
fun.
me.
We love talking about this stuff. So yeah.
All the best on your podcasting futures.
Thank you. Thank you. We once again just want to thank Kyle so much for his time. Some of repeated stuff there, but yeah, we are just, we love camp. We talk about it, you know, sometimes kind of simply, in that it is just amazing, and we feel privileged to be a part of one, to get to build into it, and have that shared experience with people in camp. So yeah, any final thoughts from you, Connor?
No, I think that's exactly it. And I think for us, it's like a joy. Maybe we're not as much right in the midst of that world anymore. You know, our summers are filled up by other things now. But to still get to know that this like sweet work is continuing, you know, to get to pop in and out of it from time to time and go encourage the staff by dropping off a box of Timbits or things like that. You know, after you know the work that it takes, you know, the hours that are poured into it, you know, the sleepless nights and all those different pieces. And so to just get to find unique little ways now to encourage campers, and even just to get to go like speak at camps, like that's something that like is kind of on my summer trajectory a little bit now too. And so like that brings a whole different side of it, and it's like, oh, what does it look like to parachute
That's
in for a
cool.
week and you know, just try and like encourage the summer staff, but then also get to have conversations with campers in a different way, you know, where you're not on the follow-up end anymore, you're kind of on the initiation and like
Right.
giving that like information that's going to be talked about for the rest of the week. And so yeah, well, there's just lots of cool ways to still be involved, and even though you're not maybe dedicating 4 months of your time, to still get to just consider how to partner alongside camp ministry and how to see, yeah, the church ultimately like built up and God glorified just through the work that's going on there. It was a lot of fun, so.
Yeah. My thoughts for the last, our last little game we can play is we're just gonna try and name as many summer camps that we know.
Oh wow. Okay.
So we'll just go back and forth. So I'll start with Sunny Bray.
Nice. Southern Alberta Bible Camp.
Eagle Bay Bible Camp.
Faith Mission Bible Camp.
Green Bay Bible Camp.
Camp Little Red.
Ooh, Gardam Lake Bible Camp.
Camp Evergreen.
Circle Square. Pretty sure that's a
Yeah.
summer camp.
Yeah. Timberline.
Oh, good one. Good
Yeah,
one.
thank you.
Redberry.
Nice. Oh man, I was just talking with somebody today about their camp in Melfort, Saskatchewan. Something Lake, which you wouldn't think they have lakes up there in Saskatchewan, but they
I
apparently
didn't know they
do.
had any.
Yeah, they apparently do, but I can't think
Empty
of the name of
Lake,
it.
maybe?
Yeah,
Scott.
probably just Tulu.
What was the city's name? Melfort, Saskatchewan?
Melfort, Saskatchewan.
Apparently there's a Bible camp near there.
Yeah.
So If you're there, go to it.
I'm really tapping out my knowledge of names now. Do
Yeah.
you have more?
I think the only other two that I would have is Kwannos
Oh yeah,
from
nice.
Vancouver Island and
Totally.
then Camp Brookwood from New Brunswick.
Yeah, perfect. You were holding on to that one.
Yeah, just to the bitter end. But yeah, like we said, like we've said so many times, camp ministry, we love it and
Oh,
we
Camp
think it's
Nachman. I thought of another one.
well, there you
Yeah,
go.
Edmonton area. Sorry, I cut you off.
Edmontonians. Yeah, if you have kids, if you are a kid, all of those things, get plugged in to a summer camp because it's a great place to be as a kid, as a student, as a young adult. It's as I mean, I don't know this from experience, but I'm sure as a parent to get to see your kids go to a place for a week and have lots of fun and be built into and cared for well. It's I'm sure encouraging as a parent and a blessing to them as well to be able to rest for a week maybe and different things like that. So yeah, thank you for listening. And we will talk to you guys next time.